Who can remember Sky? Just starting out. You know, we had, long before that, we had the TVs where if you fell asleep in the front of the TV, you'd wake up about just after midnight and it'd be black, wouldn't it? Or if you were still awake, you'd see the TV go off and a little white spot. But, you know, Sky came in, didn't it? You know, after, all the colour TVs came about, and then we've got all these satellites up in the sky, and we've got different ways of bringing TV programmes into our home. And I can remember when Sky started off, and, it was very raw, wasn't it? And they had the God Channel. And I was very interested in this. I thought, let's have a look at this God Channel. And I remember it was nearly all American. And they were all driving around in these big fancy cars, and they had jets, and all these pastors had gold rings and chains. And I was thinking, is that real? Is that real religion? Is that real faith? And I remember that there was one particular one, it sticks in my mind. It's a church that started off in a shop front on a main street in Atlanta. And that's all it was a small shop front. They showed this as part of the documentary they were showing. And then they spun the camera around with their new technology. And all of a sudden, you were in a huge auditorium. Massive. There must have been about 3,000, maybe 4,000 people sat there. And then this young man, he stood up, and he had his gold rings, and he had his gold tooth, and he stood up and he said, I'd like to introduce the man who started it all. And he gave a big introduction of how fantastic this man was. And it turned out that this man was now about 92, 95, somewhere around that age, and he was very, very fragile. And you could see as this camera zoomed into him, there he was, sat at a big chair, and he looked very weak and, you know, humble. And this young man called him forward and he said, could you tell us something that has stuck with you all your Christian life? And the old man just looked at him. And the young man, he stood there. And the old man was thinking for a moment. And then he said simply, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he just turned around and walked away and sat down. The young man was absolutely flabbergasted because he was expecting some long sermon. But he said simply, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, that man had been preaching for many, many years. Many, many years. And it saddened him to see a place so full. Yet in his heart he knew that many of them were only there for the entertainment. Isn't that sad? That's sad. You know, we've got churches in Wales who are very, very similar. Places where you can go and you can talk to people as they're coming out, and you talk to them about salvation, you talk to them about sin, talk to them about judgment and condemnation, and they look at you as though you've got three heads, because they've never heard about it. They go for the entertainment value. You know, our faith is not entertainment. Our faith is true. We have a faith in a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was the entertainment when he hung upon a cross at Calvary? Oh, there were people there to watch. They sat afar off and they watched him from a distance, wondering if he would do some wonderful miracle for their entertainment. There were those that were closer, and they mocked him and ridiculed him. There were those that walked past, and it tells us in Scripture they should have known better, because these were the leaders, these were the priests and so on. They walked past, they were probably going on their way to the temple. And they would shoot out the lip, as the Scripture says. He saved others. Let's see if he'll save himself. Let him come down from the cross, if he be the Son of God. And there were those that stood and wept. We think of his own mother, who gazed upon her son. You know, scripture tells us that he was marred more than any other man. His visage was damaged so much you could not recognize him. And it was only because Mary and the other women had followed that they knew that this was her son. That's how damaged he was. Where's the entertainment in that? And then we have people who make films about it. And even then they get the scriptures wrong. Even then. It's amazing, isn't it? How people can make money out of the death of a man. How people can just go about their lives as though, here's my entertainment, let's go and hear about this man that died upon a cross. Why are you here this evening? It's a personal question. Why are you here this evening? Is it because you're a believer and you want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord for that. Are you curious? You just want to find out what all these Christians are talking about? Have you been to other places? Other religions? You know, we're not preaching a religion. We are preaching a living faith. The living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him personally? You might be here for curiosity. You may never have been here before. I don't know you personally. You can tell me anything. But God knows your heart. God knows deep down everything about you. There is nothing hid from him. Boy, it makes you feel uncomfortable when you think of that, doesn't it? What you were doing this morning, what you were doing yesterday, last week, last year, what you've done all your life, not one thing is hid from God. This man, he had grasped what it was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say, in all those times of trouble, because we have trouble come upon us, don't we? There's times when we're in debt, there's times when we're out of work, and there's times when our family are ill, we're ill. And all through those times of trouble, the Lord Jesus was there, he could say. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But even in those times of joy, when a child is born, when someone is celebrating, you know, the child has gone through university and they got their degree, they've graduated. It's a time of joy, isn't it? A wedding. Celebration. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Does the Bible tell us? You know, it's the most popular Christian song, isn't it? For children. And yet you can go to any part of the world and you will hear the same tune. Do you know, even in Buddhism, think of that, Buddhism. They sing, Buddha loves me. This I know. For the Dharma tells me so. But if you've ever read the Dharma, it's not much joy in that, I can tell you though. The Dharma is the Bible of the Buddhists. And if you've ever looked into that, there is not much joy. In fact, they don't even believe in a God. And yet they'll sing these words. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? How man can be twisted up. Is there love in the Bible? You know, the Bible speaks volumes of the love of God and his Son. The Bible is drenched with verses that show that God loves me. You see, I'm not into hymnology. It's the very thought that this man put his trust in the fact that he knew that Jesus loves him because the Bible tells him so. Just because he used a song, that's not hymnology. Because what he's doing is pointing these people to the scriptures. These thousands of people that were listening to him, he simply pointed them to the scriptures. The Bible tells me so. In Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Think of that. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just think of that. How much love he had for you and for me to give himself upon a cross at Calvary. Amazing, isn't it? The Apostle John wrote, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loves us. Unto him that loves us. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon that cross, he shed his precious blood. He was the perfect sacrifice. Up until that point, God required the sacrifice of lambs and bulls and rams and so on. And throughout time, the Jews were continuing these sacrifices, but it had become a religion to them. It was an awful stench to the Almighty God, because they were just doing it out of religion and routine. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to set up the kingdom. I mentioned this morning. To set up the kingdom upon earth. But the Jewish nation didn't want him. They didn't want him. They didn't want to give up their wealth, their authority, their positions. And yet when you consider it at that time, they were under the foot of the Romans. And yet they didn't want this Messiah to come in and set them free. It's amazing, isn't it? How people feel comfortable in the way that their lives have ended, or the way their lives have come around them. I ask you, what's making you comfortable today? How are you living your life? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that he loves you so much that when they planned and plotted to get rid of him, he was willing to go to Jerusalem to be crucified? He knew what was going to happen. Isn't that amazing? But he set his face, as it were, a flint. In other words, he was hardened to go. So hardened was he that his apostles, his disciples, they walked behind him. They were afraid to walk with him. They were afraid. But you know, he was willing to go to Jerusalem and die for you and for me. In so doing, he shed his precious blood. And when we are saved, we claim that blood. When we're saved, we're no longer seen by God as we are, but he sees the shed blood of his Son. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the Lord God loves his Son. And when he gazes down and sees the blood, he loves you and me as his Son. We become sons and heirs. In other words, to God, we're on the same level, as it were, as his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And what have we done to deserve that? What have we done to be able to claim that? We've done nothing worthy of it. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's bring that down a bit closer. You and I have sinned. Simple as that. That's what the scriptures are telling us. You and I have sinned. We have come short of the glory of God. And there's only one way to have that put right. And that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To accept him as our Savior. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's tremendous. You know, when you think about it, we're enemies to God because we're tainted by sin. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. So in that way, we're enemies. A king wouldn't allow one of his enemies into his presence. But God allows us into his presence. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to turn about from your sin, to repent of your sin, and believe on him. In our text in Ephesians 17 to verse 19, we read it twice. Paul said it was his prayer that we would grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. There's no barriers. There's no end to the love of Christ. He loves you and me. Those of us who are unworthy of love, he loves us. Even the most heinous criminal, he loves them. We find that hard to deal with, don't we? I would even go so far as to say, if Hitler had repented, he would have been saved. Judas had every opportunity to be saved. He had every opportunity. All he had to do was repent of what he had done. Repent of his sin. And he would have been saved in that instant. Oh, man wouldn't have forgiven him. Oh, no, they wouldn't have forgiven him. How many times do you hear of a child being called Judas? You don't, do you? You know, sad to say that Judas has been suffering in a lost eternity ever since he hung himself upon that tree. And he could have been saved. You can be saved today. Why shun salvation? Why shun it? It says, grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasseth knowledge. We can't understand that love. We can't grasp that. How he can love us, that we might be filled with all fullness of God. Jesus loves me and you. I know that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. You know, there are many world religions where there are many books of scripture, but only the Bible tells us that God loves us. Only the Bible. The Buddhists have their book called the Dharma. But Buddhists don't actually believe there is a God. Let alone a God who would love them. The Hindus, they have their many books and their many gods. In fact, millions of gods. Millions of gods. They've got gods for everything. But their gods aren't the type that would love. How can a golden chalice give you love? How can a multi-armed creature, a figment of somebody's imagination, give you love? You can't. We're talking about a being, a spiritual being, the Almighty God, who has given us love through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today. He's in the glory of heaven. And he's speaking on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? And every time a soul confesses the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, whenever they say to someone, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my Lord and Savior, or words to that effect, then their name is confessed in the glory of heaven before God. And the name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never, ever to be erased. Never, ever to be erased. The Muslims, they have their Quran that tells of Allah. One God, they believe in one God. But when you consider their book and you consider their teachings, Allah is an impersonal God. He's impersonal. He's not like the God that we know. You know, it tells us in Scripture, no man has seen God and lived. But God has shown himself in so many different ways. Right down through history. and through his son and in his son. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said to one of his disciples, they questioned, when shall we see the Father? And the Lord Jesus Christ could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Isn't that amazing? So anybody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the Almighty God. Not like the God of the Muslims. Their Allah is impersonal. And he doesn't really know how to love people. You don't see it in their book, in the Quran. Amazing, isn't it? So many people are saying, well, I've read this religion, I've read that religion, I haven't found God yet. Well, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong place. God is all around us. Just think of the man in the jungle that has never seen the scriptures. We got a friend that works with the Lost Tribe Mission out in Papua New Guinea. And he tells us about people who have never, ever read the scriptures or heard the gospel, and yet they know there is an almighty God. That's amazing, isn't it? Look at the book of Romans. It'll tell you that nature itself cries out that there is a God. In fact, no matter what world religion you talk about, their gods, if they love anybody, if you see in their teachings, if they love anybody, it's the people that do good. Or the people who are supposed to be doing good. They got to reach certain levels, go through certain doors or whatever it is that they do. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Well, I can love you because you've done this and you've reached this level. And it's like playing a game on the computer, isn't it? You get through certain levels and you get different grades and so on. Amazing, that. No matter what world religion you talk about, their gods only love nice people. I have a God, the one true God who loves the unlovable. The unlovable. I sometimes wonder to myself, how could he love me in the things that I've done? The things that I've said, the things that I've thought. How can someone love me who knows every detail about me and yet still love me? And I can tell you and assure you, he loves you too. No matter what you've done, he loves you. And he wants you to draw near to him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By contrast, Paul tells us, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't wait for the world to change. Didn't wait for you to turn over a new leaf and say, well, there we are, I'm going to be a new person. Now I'm going to be goody-goody. No. He takes you as you are. Exactly as you are. And it's then in faith, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's then, without you even realizing it, how God changes your life. When the Holy Spirit enters in, you don't even know what's happening. You know, I was, just after I was saved, about a year after I was saved, I was recruiting, I was still in the army at the time, and someone was, let's call it a girlfriend. He brought his girlfriend into our resting caravan when we were waiting to recruit. And every other word was a swear word. Every other word was a swear word. And after about 5 minutes, I heard the lad, he said, stop swearing. And she said, why should I stop swearing? Swear, swear, swear. And he turned and he said, he doesn't swear. And he was pointing at me. And you know, I hadn't realized I hadn't sworn for about 6 months or more. That wasn't me. That was the Lord. The Lord had changed me, even in a simple thing like that, taking the vile tongue away from me, and I didn't even realize. Didn't even realize. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know him? The Bible tells us that even when we weren't worthy of love, God loved us anyway. Paul continues in Romans chapter 5 verse 10, he says, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. You know, this one man observed, Anyone can devise a plan by which good people may go to heaven, but only God can devise a plan whereby sinners who are enemies can go to heaven. Isn't that amazing? God loves you and me. What makes the Bible distinctive is that it says God loves us. He cares for us. He created us. He gives us breath. And the Bible says we're made in God's image. We're made in God's image. You know, if you're yet without Christ, you have a void within you. A void. You're always searching for something. You might be looking at all the different books of religion and so on. You might be going to different places to try and levitate or whatever it is. There's a void because you're always searching for something. And put simply, that void within you is God-shaped. There's only one that can fill that void, and that is God himself. God. If you're looking in any other direction, you're looking in the wrong direction. You have to look to the Almighty God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of the importance of that verse. Many people call it the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world. Put your own name in there. Make it individual. I did it once. For God so loved Ray, that if Ray believes, then Ray should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who did he give it for? For me. He gave his Son for me. And for you. And he wants you to be saved. You can have everlasting life in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of those that have gone before us. Those who are in the grave. Those who believe, their soul is in the glory, awaiting a day, awaiting a soon coming day, when we shall all be reunited together, when we shall meet them in the air. But those relationships that we had upon this earth, far better than that would be we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems harsh, that, doesn't it? But I tell you now, your loved one will feel the same. You know, you will recognize people. Because it doesn't tell us in Scripture that our features will change. It tells us that we will be made perfect. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall all be changed. Are you looking forward to that? I am. I'm looking forward to that shout. I'm looking forward to that trumpet call. And I'm looking forward to that time being whooshed up into the air, like that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Are you going to be there with me? Are you going to be called up? Are we going to meet our loved ones in the air when we meet and gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It would be sad, wouldn't it, if your loved one's there and you're not. And you had the opportunity to believe. You had the opportunity to trust. You had the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You've only got to look at Scripture and you can see the effect a believer has around them. We look at, think of somebody like Lydia. You see, she believed, she heard the word of God and she believed. And then her whole household believed and were baptized. That's amazing, isn't it? We think of the Philippian jailer. Likewise, he believed and his whole household believed and were baptized. What effect will you have on the remainder of your family? The moment you believe, the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you tell them, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What effect will it have? Oh, they'll say, are you a Bible basher? They'll say all sorts of things. They'll take the mickey. They say, oh, it won't last. Yeah, we've seen these changes before. It won't last. But if it's a true salvation, you can never, ever be lost. And people will see that your life has changed. And that has effect, because they then consider, hang on a minute, what if this is real? Maybe I should find out. Maybe I should be curious. Maybe I should go along to a place and talk to other believers. And you see the ripple effect within your own families, your own workplace, as you have opportunity to witness and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Being able to tell them, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. If you don't, and you want to ask questions, those questions can be answered. There's nothing too difficult, you know. Because all the questions that you and I would ask have been asked before. They've been asked before. I don't want to stop anybody asking questions. Ask questions. Because the Lord himself, the Almighty God, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isn't that amazing? The Almighty God will reason with man. He gives us the opportunity to reason with him. You can reason with Almighty God. Never stop asking questions. Come closer to the Lord and he will come close to you. Take that step of faith and he will enter into your life. Isn't that wonderful? Saved, not just for today, but for eternity. Never, ever to be lost. Let's sing our last hymn together. (clears throat) 516. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in